comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or its affiliates or sponsors.
Hi, folks, and welcome to the Kevin Smith Show. Whoever you are, wherever you are, all around this beautiful planet we all call home, welcome to talk radio like nowhere else on earth. You have dialed up the show where you matter. Another oil rig explosion in the Gulf off the coast of Louisiana today. At this point, now, the news may be out there, but just before showtime, I checked, and at this point, there was no news as to who owns that oil rig. So I don't know if it's another BP rig or somebody else's, but another oil rig explosion in the Gulf. One good note is that at least the report that I am familiar with says that the entire crew of the rig were rescued. They were all out in the ocean, I think. They were in the water, and they were picked up. So that's good. Oil rig explosions. Well, of course, we keep hearing from the government that most of the oil is gone now from that first one. And we keep hearing from the scientists that's not the case. It's not true. The oil is there. It's just not up on the surface and big globs and columns of it under the water. So now we've got another one. Scientists are interesting folks. A group of scientists have issued a report now that says Earth is on the verge of an extinction level event. And that's a pretty involved article. We're going to talk about that, not tonight, though. We're going to talk about it tomorrow night when we go open line. In the first part of the show, it will be one of the things that I throw on the table for us to discuss. Obviously, and now some people get all upset when I say this, but obviously, folks, you're living on a dying planet. I mean, even if we weren't having all these oil rig explosions, if there wasn't all this pollution that we're causing, and if we weren't driving other species to extinction, if none of that existed, you live on a dying planet. It's called the law of entropy. Everything runs down. And, you know, the sun at some point out there far into the future is going to run out of fuel. It's going to die. When the sun dies, we die. When the sun goes, life on this planet goes. And so we're living on a dying planet. We're going to be talking about tomorrow night the possibility that we are pushing it. The possibility that maybe we are pushing an extinction-level event, causing it to approach much quicker than it should. And you don't want to miss that show. Also, if you are not subscribed to the K-Files, you don't want to miss the K-Files. If you're not subscribed, you got to ask yourself, where's the genius in that decision? Because it's free. It's absolutely free to no longer be ignorant of the facts. How about subscribing right now? Go to my website, kevinsmithshow.com, and click where it says K-Files. We'll be back right after this.
Radio LA. You can now hear The Kevin Smith Show 7 days a week. The Kevin Smith Show live Monday through Friday, 7 to 9 p.m. Pacific, and the best of The Kevin Smith Show Saturdays and Sundays, 8 to 9:30 p.m. Pacific, only on Indy 104 and iRadio LA. Go to Indy104.com for more information. 7 days of Kevin Smith, you can never get enough.
My guest this evening is someone who's been a guest many times here at the Kevin Smith Show and is always welcome here, and it's always a pleasure to have him as my guest, somebody that I know personally, but was a guest on the show even before I had met him. And Jose Escamilla is one of the foremost filmmakers in the genre of things that are strange and unexplained. And he is with us tonight again. Jose Escamilla, welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show.
Hey, it's my pleasure being back with you there, Kevin. I enjoy doing shows with you all the time.
As a matter of fact, you also have done a video chat with us.
Yes, I did, yeah. Yep. That was fun.
A little different, but fun.
Have
Jose,
you done that lately?
I'm sorry?
Have you done that anymore?
Yes, we had a video chat with Jeff Harvey on the 28th of August. And so we're probably going to be doing some more of those, too. And I'll just give you an invitation. We'd like for you to come back and do a video chat with us.
Yeah, that was fun. I've got some new stuff to show you.
Okay.
Definitely.
All right. My people will call your people and we'll...
Have your people call my people.
Yeah. Well, that's one of the things I like about dealing with you is that when I call, I get Jose on the telephone. I don't get all these other people. Jose, I have gotten a bunch of emails from folks, and I have also had some calls to the show where people have asked about the premiere. They want to know, how did the premiere go? And I talked with you today and found out I know how the premiere went. But share with us a little bit about that. How did the premiere go?
The premiere is going well. It's still alive and well. We're trying to raise financing for it. What happened, Kevin, and I mentioned that to you earlier this morning, I'm not going to mention my sponsor's name, but you know, it was going to cost like $60,000 to put on the premiere there at the Chinese Theater. And everything was going smoothly. I mean, we were even doing going to do a premiere of the film days earlier in Roswell, New Mexico, during the UFO festival there. But what happened was the sponsor that was doing this all of a sudden wound up in jail. He wound up getting arrested for aggravated assault or something, felonious assault or something, and he's been in jail ever since. So naturally my funding was just halted. It was just kind of a weirdness, you know. So luckily the man's Chinese Theater people have been really gracious with me, and they understood what happened, and, you know, so we're moving the event up to February of next year, 2011, and we're planning, it has to happen on a Thursday. That's usually when movie premieres occur there at the Chinese Theater, and other venues, usually on a Tuesday or a Thursday. So I'm planning to do it on the anniversary of the Battle of Los Angeles. Because, and, you know, this is the remake of my original movie, and it opens basically with the Battle of Los Angeles. So we're planning on doing it. It's not on the 25th, though, because the 25th in February of 2011 falls on a Friday. So I'm going to do it on the 24th, which is going to be the day before the actual anniversary of the Battle of Los Angeles. So that's the plan right now. I have listed the event up on a sponsorship website and a place called Indiegogo, which I have a connection to on my tbln.com website. And, you know, this way we're trying to raise sponsorship and, you know, we have a little more time right now to do it. So the event is not over yet, not over at all. So we're looking forward to it.
Well, I was a little bit taken aback by the news whenever you told me that your sponsor had been arrested. And the first thing I thought about was, do you think this is a real arrest? I mean, based on genuine stuff, or do you think maybe your movie was targeted?
It's hard to pinpoint, Kevin, because a lot of strangeness occurs around me anyway, as it is. You know, but this one really took the cake because the sponsor actually is a UFO researcher investigator. He's pretty well known. I'm not going to mention his name. And he was arrested for aggravated menacing and felonious assault. I just read it here. And the weird thing about it is I immediately called where he was, in jail at, and all they could tell me was that he, they had $150,000 cash bail on him. I mean, that's cash. We're not, usually when you post bail on somebody, you pay 10%.
Mm-hmm.
So this is like $150,000 cash, and if that's 10% of $1.5 million, then he must have done something serious,
Well, at least he's charged with something serious.
Yeah, they won't tell me what the real charges are. They won't tell me, they won't allow me to talk to him on the phone.
Mm-hmm.
And even his relatives have been trying to contact him, and they can only talk to him through his counsel, which is very strange to me. I mean, you think your own brother might be able to call you direct and or talk to you without having to talk to your attorney first. I mean, that's kind of bizarre. So I don't, this happened like, when was it? It was right at the middle of May, I believe. It was in June. It was in June. It was a few weeks before the event was to take place. I don't have the exact date that he was arrested, but it was in June something, middle part maybe. But it was just some strangeness around the whole deal. And, I really hope for his welfare that he's okay. I mean, he's been a benefactor of mine for like 10 years. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
That's how close we are. So, and I've never known him to have, broken a law or anything. So I'm just really concerned. I still haven't heard from him. So it's kind of bizarre.
Well, these things are strange, and strange things do happen around you. That's for sure.
Yeah.
But strange things happen around a lot of us who are dealing with UFO information and extraterrestrial information. A lot of strange things happen around us, and sometimes people think, oh, it's just coincidence, or they'll say it's just your imagination. But, after so many years of it, you sort of get accustomed to it to the point where, number one, strange things are going to happen, and number two, people are going to think in very strange ways as a result of it. And that's just how it is. Okay, so you've got this one coming up then in February, but you're working on another film. Tell us about the one you're working on.
Okay, well, the series was UFO, The Greatest Story Ever Denied, Part 1, 2, and now there's 3. That's what I'm in pre-production on right now. It's called The Human Record, and this will be the final installment of the trilogy on the subject of UFOs. And what I'm planning to do, what The Human Record is about basically is, I've seen on History, Discovery Channel, they've always, put shows that show that, like ancient aliens and things of this nature. They show the petroglyphs and everything else.
Mm-hmm.
And those were the record keepers of the past, prehistoric times through medieval and biblical times, up to, recent times. These people were part of the human record of UFOs. Whatever they means they had, they would do a rock carving of what they saw, that kind of thing.
Right.
What this film is about is the recordists of UFO history of the present. And I'm going to do a big campaign on YouTube and Google and, many of the other websites, asking people to record themselves for a couple of minutes describing what they saw and what they videotaped, or what they saw and what they photographed. And we're probably going to get inundated with tons of video. I hope we do. But I want authentic stuff. I don't want any fake stuff. There's a lot of people faking UFO stuff. But
how are you going to be able to tell the difference?
You can tell. You know, I'm a CGI guy. I can tell something that's been CGI'd.
You know,
I can tell signs, in other words.
One of the reason I asked that question, I know of one very well-known major film that came out about UFOs, and it had some video examples from various people. And one of these people, and I warned them about this guy, but anyway, they used his video. And then he came out later, and in a public way, said it was all hoaxed. He did it on purpose, and he did it just to show how gullible people are. And then he still says he's a UFO investigator. Now this actually made it into the film. And
I wonder what film that is.
Well, I'll tell you off air.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll tell you off air, and I'll tell you his name.
I think I know which one it might be, but
yeah.
You know, there's some great stuff out there. There's stuff that looks really real, but you can tell on some of the stuff. I mean, there were things that I'd seen before, and I go, nah, that's totally fake. But people bought into it. They said, no, that's the real deal. You know.
Yeah.
One of the big ones was the Haiti footage. I don't know if you remember that one when it came out.
Oh yeah, that was impressive footage too.
Yeah, and I happened to own the software that was made with. I was like, immediately I saw the trees, the pine trees. I go, oh man, that's on the tutorial. The tutorial where you can do all those palm trees and everything, and the camera moves are just awesome. It's some awesome software, man. And you know, sure enough, man, people bought it. So there's like, I think the first week it had like about 10 million views. You know, made the newspapers and everything else, but probably sold them a lot of software, because that was the guy, he was one of the artists that works on this software program as a developer, so it was really well done, though. It was cool.
It was cool. You also have worked with John Leonard Walson.
Yes, John Leonard.
Yeah.
Mr. Walson.
He pronounces it Leonard. John Leonard Walson?
Yeah, he's an English fella.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when he talks, he talks with, that English drawl. He says, yes, it's John Leonard Walson. John Leonard. You know? He's got that accent.
I was looking at some of that footage this week, and I've got to tell you that. Now, talking about something that's impressive, that's impressive.
Well, that's what had me get involved in the first place. I mean, when he first contacted me in 2007, it was February 2007, the guy that he had mentioned that was trying to help him get this stuff out there was Santiago Ituria out of Monterrey, Mexico. So this guy contacted me, said he wanted me to make a movie on his stuff and to help him get the word out on these ships, you know. So the first stuff that he sent me, I was just blown away. I go, my gosh, if this is the real deal, and these things are posing as stars in the, you know, in the skies, then we have, you know, we must have 20, maybe 40 ships out there that are huge, man. We're talking things that are bigger than the moon.
Yeah.
You know, orbiting around Earth, you know, in the inner space there. So I contacted Santiago, and I said, look, is this guy the real deal and everything else? He said, yeah, he's legit as far as I know. And I guess he'd been investigating Walson for 3 years prior to Mike getting contacted by Walson. So I went ahead and signed a contract with him, made a deal memo with Walson, and he sent me everything, man. He sent me tons and tons of shots. And I kept going, well, you know, here's this little guy that allegedly has a device that I guess the aliens told him how to build it, according to what his story was, to me, anyway. And he's able to look farther into space than any of the big telescopes that we have here, as far as I know. So, you know, I take people at their word, you know. I give you the benefit of the doubt until I find out different, you know. And I'm still investigating that case. I've been trying to get a telescope replicated as the same way as his. I have the locations in the sky where he's been filming these things. He sent me, you know, a list of the quadrants, and maps and everything else. So I've got everything. I just need to get out there and get this one telescope built so we can do some true filming of these things. And, boy, I find out that it's a real deal, Kevin. I'm going to go all out. I'm planning to do a movie anyway called The Interstellar Case Files, which is the whole story behind John Leonard Watson and myself. Because, you know, we had a big controversial blowout, man. You know, the guy just turned weird on me. Like I say, strange things happen all the time around me, man.
Well, you know, you're just you're a strange kind of guy. That's what it is.
High strangeness, man.
High strangeness. That's it. That's it. Oh, by the way, I have never, ever seen you without a ball cap. Are you wearing one right now?
I have it on right now, as a matter of fact.
I thought so.
A thinking cap. What are you talking about? A thinking cap.
All right. I want to go back to the trilogy for just a minute. And this third film in the trilogy is called The Human Factor. Is that it? Or The Human Record?
The Human Record. I have a trailer up there on TBLN.com on your link.
Mm-hmm.
They can see the trailer. But yeah, it's The Human Record. And I basically bring out a lot of military things, too. I have interviews with people that were working on Project Blue Book, Major Quintella. And he's acknowledging that UFOs are real. He's just saying, we're just trying to find out if they're a danger to our national security and if there's something that we can derive from them for research and development for the military. I mean, he just plainly says it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he doesn't tell the guy, oh, there's no such thing as UFOs. He says, yeah, you know, this is, all we're worried about is if they're a threat to national security and whether or not we can use some of their technology for research and development for the military. And then the other guys in there, the captain, Leonard, I forget his name, but he's talking, hey, if you people that see UFOs that report a UFO are patriotic citizens, you know, we urge you to contact us. So in those days, and this was just in the 50s, okay, so, you know, they acknowledge that the UFOs are real. They just didn't say where they're from, you know?
Yeah. So well, and maybe they didn't know.
Well, maybe not, you know, but they definitely didn't say that there's no such thing. That didn't happen until later.
Yeah.
They started, you know, they got all the scientists, you know, Carl Sagan and all these people, you know, go on record as there's no such thing as UFOs. And here it is today, 2010. Can you believe it?
Mm-hmm.
They're going to land in 2012, but here we are in 2010. There's people still guffawing that, oh, yeah, there's no such thing as UFOs. You're crazy. You're nuts. You know, the ridicule still persists. But this film is going to cover all that. I'm going to bring out a lot of people that are from around the world that have footage that, and photos that you've never seen before. I even have a shot of what appears to be a 9-foot-tall alien that's staring down at the guy that took this photograph. The guy froze in his boots after he saw this photo. He took 3 snapshots of the wooded area.
We have to step away for break. We'll be back and we'll pick up with a 9-foot-tall alien when we come back. Don't go away, folks. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. My guest this evening is Jose Escamilla. And Jose, when we had to step away for break, you were just telling us about a photograph you have of a 9-foot-tall extraterrestrial.
It appears to be so, because from what I know about the photographer, he's about 5'10", 5'11". And maybe 9 foot is a little exaggeration. Maybe he's 8 foot tall. I don't know. You can't tell in the photo because all you're seeing is like from his thighs up to this chin, you know, on the scope of the whole photograph. The guy was filming, photographing the moon and the wooded area behind this place there. It's in Kansas somewhere. And he took 3 snapshots. One of the middle photo has this thing that is covering most of the right side of the frame of the photo. And you can see a pointed chin at the top of the frame on the upper right corner. And I mean, it's a tall thing. It looks like about 9 foot tall, because judging from how tall this guy was, he's 5'11", you know, and he's centered in the frame of the picture, centered the scene. And this thing is photographed from the thighs up to its chin, and it was still taller than this guy. It must have been about 9 feet tall, I feel.
Someone sent me a link this week.
I'll send it to you right now.
Okay. Somebody sent me a link this week of a live newscast, and I'm thinking that it was France, but I can't remember. I look at so many of these, I can't remember all the details. But anyway, in this live news coverage, they're interviewing a young lady outside, and on the hillside back behind her, you can see what, for all the world, looks like a gray walking across that hill and then down the hill toward her.
Yeah, it's a strange video, definitely. I saw that, too.
Yeah, where was that, France?
I believe it was France, yeah.
Yeah.
And it looked like Gumby. It had real long legs, huh?
It did, and that's not the first time I've seen video of creatures that look like that.
Me too. There's one in Mexico that was photographed in this lady's backyard.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe it was a TV show that I saw called Fake or something like that. Something about, is it a hoax or is it real? And they tried to fake it, you know, but no, it was real. And it was the same type of creature.
Yeah, I saw the same video. They tried to, they got a special effects guy and tried to fake it. And he was unable to do that.
They couldn't do it at all. And it was the same kind of gait that this thing had in that French footage.
Yeah.
So there's a double, you know, corroboration from two different sources, you know.
Different sides of the world.
Yeah, it's pretty wild.
Speaking of wild, you also are famous for having videotaped and photographed some strange creatures that are called rods.
Yes.
What's up with the rods these days?
Well, I've been working on Roswell Rods, the Jose Escamilla story, since last year. So the jury is not out on that one yet, man. I mean, I received footage from all over the world of rods and photographs, and I'm telling you, these things are real, and people just don't realize that these things are real. I mean, History Channel and the Monster Quest did a disservice to myself and the public, because what they did is they lied to the public. They did this video test at night using a high-speed camera and a camcorder, and I've always encouraged people, don't shoot at night because you compromise your shutter setting on your camcorder. You know, always broad daylight. So if History Channel would have done justice and would have been truthful about everything, they would have done the camera test at night and during the day in broad daylight to show the difference, you know. But they didn't do that because they knew that by shooting using my sky fishing protocol and the high-speed camera in daylight, it would eliminate the bug theory. And that's what they were bent on doing, was debunking the rods. And they did a good job of it, but you know what? Rods are real, and the day's going to come. It's going to slap them right in the face, man.
Some of those rods are enormous.
Yeah. Some of them are, I mean, they're huge. I just, last night, as a matter of fact, I was editing on Roswell Rods, and I did a whole thing on the IMAX footage of rods, and this is up in the fjords in Norway, and at 4,800 feet, 5,000 feet, and these base temperatures are jumping off the edge. Now, this is IMAX film, and I'm going to put some of these clips on YouTube probably later tonight or by tomorrow of the Roswell rods, because you can clearly see these rods are huge, man. They're about, the one that flies over these guys at the fjords in Norway, it's about, I'd say about a 6-footer, maybe 6 or 7 feet long.
Six feet long.
And it's traveling really fast. It just zips through the scene like they always do.
So if it's a bug, it's one heck of a bug.
Well, yeah, and, you know, this is from a helicopter, so there's no way an insect close to the lens, that's what skeptics always say, there's no way an insect would be traveling that fast under the 80 mile-per-hour winds of the rotors of the chopper, you know? And plus, it's far away. You can tell it's far in the distance. It's not real close. It's right, and it flies right above the heads of the base jumpers, and it's pretty big. So it's really exciting footage. You know, IMAX, man.
Yeah. Now, are you going to, is that part of the footage that you're going to put up on YouTube?
Yes, tonight. I'm still editing on the piece.
Mm-hmm.
I have that, and I have a close-up view of that rod that showed up at the Germany-Spain soccer game. Have you seen that one?
No, I don't think I have.
Yeah, the camera is shooting from above the stadium, and you can see this rod just fly through. It's a white rod. So I did some close-up work on it, and it's really quite
I guess, even
in slow motion.
I guess the was that during the World Cup series?
Yes, the World Cup, the final
game. Yeah, I guess rods like the World Cup stuff, too.
Yeah, I've gotten photographs of the Korean World Cup final, you know. I guess rods like watching soccer.
Yeah.
I guess. Well, you know, they're attracted to adrenaline. You know, there's a lot of adrenaline flying around games like that. I have a Roswell Rods promo right now on YouTube that has it's all rod footage shot at over 10,000 feet above ground. And one of the closest shots ever of a rod is right there, man. It's right behind the parachute canopy. In close-up. You can see it there, Kevin. I don't know if you've seen that promo.
No, I haven't.
But,
Jose, you've done more with rods than anybody else. What do you think they are?
I have no idea, man. Knowing that they're, you know, we've got footage of them in space, you know, photos of them on Mars.
Now, whoa. I didn't know about that. We have photos of rods on Mars.
Rods, yeah.
Talk to me about that.
Well, these were sent to me by, Deborah. She has a webpage. She's been researching rods and also the Mars stuff. And there's photos of rods, man. Or rod objects. They're, you know, elongated cigar-shaped things. And I've got them, man. I'll send those to you also. Maybe next time we'll do a show on rods. You know, because I'm starting to uncover a lot of stuff and release stuff on the rods that I haven't before. But, yeah, there's shots of rods on Mars, man. The trip.
Well, then they obviously, if there are shots of rods on Mars, it means two things. It means one of two things. One, it means that rods do not need oxygen and are ignoring it here on Earth.
Right.
Or two, it means there is oxygen on Mars sufficient to sustain rods.
Well, we know that there's oxygen up there because they've been, you know, there's trees up there on Mars or things that look like trees, you know, on water. Have you seen those color photos? I mean, there's a lot of stuff that's been coming out.
Yeah.
That I've seen anyway. I mean, you can see there's clear blue water in this one shot, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, what I liked was, you know, they've got this story, and they're continuing to tell the story down at NASA that Mars' atmosphere is so thin that water cannot exist in liquid form at the surface. Well, then they did that polar lander, the Phoenix lander. And there it is, setting up there near the North Pole of Mars. And they turn the camera toward the ground, and they take a picture of the ground right there at the Phoenix lander. And it shows the leg and one foot pad of the Phoenix lander sitting on Mars. And they took a series of photographs, and when you take this series and line them up and run them as if it was film, you see water drops forming on the leg of the lander and then kind of move around and drip down. So there's liquid water on their own lander at the surface. And their own photographs prove what they've been saying isn't true.
Yeah, well, you know, eventually you keep lying, you'll be found out. You know?
That's true.
They keep making fibs about everything else and, you know, lying to the public. Eventually somebody's going to come out and say, look, the moon is in full color, it's not gray. So, you know, eventually they get found out.
What do you think's going to happen now that they're essentially out of the space exploration business in terms of human exploration?
I, you know, I don't think they're out of the ballgame. I mean, they tell the public that we're not going to do this anymore, but you can bet with all the advanced technology, the technological aircraft that they have, that we still haven't been privileged to see, you can bet they're doing stuff. I mean, for all we know, they're the ones that built these huge starships that are out there orbiting Earth, you know, the John Leonard Walson stuff, you know, for all we know.
Yeah, that's right.
I know that Bigelow has his own spaceship out there, you know, that expands and moves around.
Mm-hmm.
And for a long time now, I've always said, well, maybe one of these things is the Bigelow craft, because it seems to expand and contract, you know, up in space. So maybe that's one of the things that Leonard was filming, you know.
And well, it may be, but these things that Leonard was filming actually look like they're far more massive than that.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And a lot of them look like they're robotics.
Yeah.
Like that one that looks like a transformer, you know, that's kind of just floating up there, and then it just changes shape. I mean, it's really bizarre.
You know? Yeah, yeah.
I even was thinking of trying to figure a way to get a smaller telescope, because I had this one scope that I think Ed Grimsley has it now, but I never could make it work, man. I just need to get a telescope that's already ready to go. I can just unpack it and just start looking, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not technical sometimes on a lot of this optical stuff, but.
Well, again, back to the trilogy. I know I'm hopping around a little bit, but we will have to step away for break here in a few seconds. But on the trilogy, you're inviting people to share their own experiences and their own video and photographs. Would that include if someone has seen something like John Leonard Walson has videotaped? If they've seen that, would that be included in your trilogy?
Yes, I'm planning to have a segment, as a matter of fact, on the orbiting starships and John Leonard Walson. Anyone else who's filming this? I know there was a man in New Jersey when I first talked to Walson. There was a guy that was on. What was the name of that website? Space.com.
All right, we have to step away for break. Sorry, but we'll be back. And when we come back, we'll pick up right there. Don't go away, folks. Welcome back. This is the Kevin Smith Show, and my guest this evening, Jose Escamilla. Jose, in the third part of your trilogy, you're inviting people to participate with their videos, with their photographs, and their story about what it is you're looking at and what they experienced. Now, how are you going about collecting all those? How are you getting the word out? And then how do you sift through those to choose what you're going to use?
What I'm going to do is I'm going to set up a website specifically for the human record where people can post their films. You know, they can upload their films on this particular website. And I'm not planning to release the human record probably until the middle part, maybe latter part of 2011. It's going to take a while for me to go through all these, you know, clips. Plus, yeah. I'm going to be directing people over the internet how to shoot their film, so it'll look nice. You know, it's got to be high def, and, you know, good quality, and that'll eliminate a lot of the people out there that don't have that kind of equipment or that, you know, do amateur work. It's got to look nice. I want them to look good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I'll probably. I'll have that website up there probably around October. I'm starting production in October, November, you know, a couple of months from now. And that's when I'll probably go on the campaign, if I decide to still follow through with it. I may just sans the whole idea in case it's just too many people submit, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But it's an idea. I want to get as many people out there to submit, you know, and it's up in the air right now, but I plan to do it in October, November, if I do go ahead and do it. But I would put a website up there and just have people just send me video after video, and I'll look at it right there on YouTube before we make a decision. Then I will personally contact each one, and we'll make the transition of having them send me the footage, you know. So that'll be interesting. You never know what is out there.
Now, without using any names, okay, we're not going to use any names here.
Okay.
But you have had there are people who have produced some great videos, some great photographs, and we're going to participate in your movie, and then had some people show up and tell them, don't do that.
Yeah, no, they told them you shouldn't be involved in this film or else. That kind of thing. That's from one person.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I go, man, why would somebody tell them that? I mean, and who told them that? But the person just said, look, I just don't want to ever talk about it. But, you know, I says, I just can't do it. So.
And I will tell you that that person I have had on this show, and have tried to get that person back on this show, and he will not do radio shows. He will not do interviews now.
Wow. Wow. Well, it's just bizarre, you know. I don't know what motivates people to do that to other people, you know.
Well, for one thing, they're totally, completely, abjectly enemies of the Constitution. But then another thing is they get away with it because we do not in mass numbers just say no.
That's right.
You know, when the entire population has had enough and they of the country, and they've had enough of having that boot on their throat, and they just say no. You know, we're not going to cooperate with you anymore. Now, when that happens, that section of the government or whoever they are has become completely irrelevant and useless. And at that point, everybody involved in that section of the government is probably a target for elimination to keep them quiet.
Yeah, probably so. And those factions, whoever they are, they definitely do exist, you know.
Yeah, they do.
It's only a small number.
Yeah, I think it's a small number. And you know, and they're bad guys, and they can do some bad things until enough people stand up and say, "That's it, no more. We're not going to obey you. We're not going to cooperate with you, and we are now going to expose you." And when that happens, it's over.
Yeah, I agree.
Powerful people are only as powerful as the rest of us let them be.
That's truth right there.
Jose, people send all this video to you, and we're looking at all this video now that was shot by people like me and I'm not one of those. I don't have a high def camera. But I mean, just people like me and the rest of the audience, they send their videos in. We're looking at it now.
Right.
And we're seeing all these UFOs that folks just like us have seen. What is it you hope to accomplish with that?
Well, it's going to be part of the overall picture of the human record. What basically the human record is about, as I said, is the people that are out there recording, you know, doing the historical recording of UFOs for posterity, you know, for the future generations. And these are the ones in the present time. So they're going to be bringing forth probably some of the best footage and photography we've ever seen of UFOs because of fear of ridicule. Maybe these people already have the stuff. They're just afraid to come out with it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But here's their opportunity to be part of a historical record in present times. And as you said, in numbers, you know, there are millions of people out there filming stuff. Not only UFOs, they're filming ghosts, they're filming all sorts of other phenomena. And as you say, the more numbers we have of people verifying that there is something in the skies, You know, there's that's more confirmation that, you know, is without a doubt proving UFOs exist.
Yeah.
You know, it's just kind of comical to me now. You know, we're in the year 2010. Okay, we can communicate on cell phones, for crying out loud, you know, show video and stuff, and people still don't believe that UFOs are real. It's just kind of weird, you know.
Oh, it is. It's mass mental illness. But
yeah.
And I do not say that tongue in cheek. I say that quite seriously. It really is mass mental illness. Now, look.
I agree 100%.
Well, and see, it's not about belief. It's about active denial of solid mountains of evidence. That's what it's about, and that's why it's mental illness. Look, in Europe, explorers, when the European explorers first began coming back from the deepest, darkest parts of the African wilderness and telling about these big, hairy, man-like creatures that were there, everyone in Europe laughed at them. And the experts said, you know, things like, well, you know, he must have been suffering from malaria or something, some kind of hallucinations. That, you know, we call those big hairy things gorillas today.
Yeah.
But they were scoffed at when they came back and reported it. The same thing with the panda. The Europeans scoffed at the first people to come back and describe pandas. And, you know, but today we know they exist. And, you know, these highbrow, pseudo-intellectual, mentally bent experts that are out there saying there's something wrong with you if you think that UFOs exist, these are the very same people who have been wrong 1,000% of the time down through history.
I agree. That's exactly true. You know, and they're the first ones that when the truth comes out, they say, well, we always knew you were on the right path, you know. We always knew it was real. We just didn't know what to say, you know. They're always going to never admit it.
Well, they're never going to admit to their own Toro Kaka. Okay. And, yeah, you know, that's an award I give out once in a while. I give out the Steaming Toro Kaka Award every once in a while. It goes usually to someone in the media.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah. And we'll do a big presentation here on the show.
There's a lot to deserve it, too, believe me.
That's true. Okay, we have to step away for break here in about, we're less than a minute away. And when we come back, I'm going to open up the telephone lines and invite our audience to join us and to participate. Now, folks, it doesn't matter if you've never called us before. If you're a first-time caller, that's okay. We want to hear from you wherever you may be around this planet. I'll be giving out the telephone numbers. And the main number works anywhere on this planet, and probably a few other planets as well. In fact, I hope someday we get a telephone call from some disgruntled employee at the base on the moon. And that would be an interesting interview, would it not?
That would be a first.
Yeah, I run an ad on our TV channel that says extraterrestrials. When you get to Earth, I want an interview. All right, folks, we'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show, and for those of you who are joining us just now in this second hour, welcome aboard. I'm glad you're here. My sincere sympathy to you for having missed that first hour. My guest is Jose Escamilla, and we're talking about various film projects that he's got going in various stages of development, And, of course, you know he is one of the foremost filmmakers within the genre of the things that we talk about here on this show, the world of the strange and unexplained. Now, I would like to invite you to join us in this conversation, but I can't do that right at this moment, okay? Because we have to make a technical change in order for us to do that. And we will do so in just a few minutes. And I won't get into all the details there. But there's a little technical thing we have to do to invite you to join us. But I want you to go ahead and write this telephone number down, these telephone numbers down, because when I do open the telephone lines, these will be the numbers for you to use. The main number here in the studio is 623-444-5889. And then the toll-free number for the USA and Canada, if you need to call me toll-free, you can do so, 888-223-4599. If you live outside of the USA and you live outside of Canada, you can send me a flash message. If you're in the USA or Canada, your flash message will not get to me. I will not read it even if it does get to me, because we have telephone numbers for you, okay? People living outside the USA and Canada, I don't have a toll-free number for them. So they can go to my website and click on the link that says flash message and send me a flash message. All right, now, Jose, are you up to having us go ahead and do this little technical change we've got to do?
Absolutely.
All right. I'm with you. All right, now, folks, you stand by, and I'll let you watch me. You will not even be excited about it, okay? Hang on. We are back, and I've got Jose with me, and the technical change has taken place. Jose, can you hear me?
Absolutely good. Loud and clear.
Okay, very good. The telephone lines are open, folks, and the telephone number is 623-444-5889. The toll-free number, 888-223-4599. So if you're out there having seen some Jose Escamilla films, and you've got some questions, maybe about rods, maybe about the fantastic anomalies that he showed us on the moon, or perhaps, and by the way, just the colors of the moon, just the colors is a huge anomaly for most folks, because most folks don't know the moon is in color.
Yeah.
It's not gray. But anyway, there you go. The colors of the moon are some of the structures that he showed us. Also, you may have a question or a comment about UFOs, The Greatest Story Ever Denied, a great documentary, and the first two installments are out. The first one, tell us about the first one and the second one. What's the difference between them?
Okay, the first movie, the first of the trilogy, I started making that one back in 2001. And reason being is I had seen an ABC special on UFOs with Peter Jennings, and I just didn't like the way they presented it, because, you know, the first hour they showed the UFO cases. Second hour they had the skeptics and the debunkers just debunking everything. So it's still left the American public in total chaos, man. They still left them in confusion.
Uh-huh.
Because here they presented the UFOs the first hour, then the second hour is all the skeptics just ridiculing everything. So I said, you know what, I'm going to get to the bottom of it and just put this whole story together the way it should be that no one has done. And that's basically what happens with the first film. It was it shows you how the military, the CIA and the White House and the Pentagon, they hired all of the top scientists of those eras, you know, I'm talking the 40s, 50s, and 60s, to appear on national radio and national television and just totally debunk, create the myth that there was no such thing as UFOs. And I'm talking people like Carl Sagan, astronomer, you know, and other astronomers and scientists, and they, you know, the naive public at that time bought into the story, you know.
Yeah.
And that's how it is today, you know. So that's what the first film was about. And in that first movie, I did a segment on the moon because that was part of the cover-up. It's like, well, they went to the moon and, you know, there were structures and things up there. And that's when I started looking at these artifacts and I go, holy cow, man, I didn't realize that there was such a huge amount of information about the moon and the Apollo stuff. Up until that time, I actually felt that, all right, well, they probably have lied to us about a few things, but I didn't realize the scope of the matter. And that's how come I did Moon Rising.
Mm-hmm.
I decided to delve into, you know, the full conspiracy and the controversy behind covering up what they found on the moon, you know, and that's what Moon Rising is about. And then here we are full circle on the third installment, which is The Human Record, and it kind of covers a little bit more that I did not cover in the other two films, but for the most part, it's about the people that are now photographing and filming UFOs and other phenomena. I mean, even the orbs, you know, those orbs that people are filming, I've seen some spectacular footage of these things. I even have orbs flying around my face, you know?
Yeah.
In a basement in 96 over in Denver. So there's some amazing things that are happening out there. It's just that people that are documenting now, documenting this phenomenon, they're going to be the highlight of the Human Record, the third part. So that's how it all started, man, you know?
All right. Let's go to the telephone and caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. This is Ryan in Washington.
Hi, Ryan.
Hey, Ryan.
Yeah, Jose, when you do this this Human Record project, what are you going to do about all the people that send you videos that are probably hoaxes? Because the reason I say that is because there's a whole segment of our society now that is they're pumping out these hoaxes on a daily basis. It seems like when I go to YouTube now, I spend more time sifting through the ones that are obviously CGI to get to the ones that are good. And there's this group called UFO Theater that there's a whole segment, a whole population that on a daily basis they're putting together these videos and they're putting them up on YouTube. And it's like, I'm just asking you, like, how are you gonna handle those people that send you videos?
Well, you know, I've dealt with this before. One of the things, I'll tell you a story just to show you how I'm going to do this. When Jaime Maussan came out with that footage of that incredible flying saucer that they shot over Mexico, I'm pretty sure you've seen it. It was all over the world, man. It goes behind this building and then flies up and it hovers there. It's a big UFO, broad daylight. When he received it, he only received the actual clip. He didn't receive what was going on before or after. You know, UFOs appear at random. So what I'm requesting for people that submit, they're going to have to send me the entire tape. I don't want just the clip. You understand what I'm saying? They're going to have to send me the whole tape that has all the footage in it. Then I'll be able to tell if it's a hoax, because if they only send me the clip and, it's only like a 5 or 10 second clip or something, then I'll know it was probably hoaxed, you know? But that's how to eliminate it, if you request the whole footage, the whole tape. Unless they spend like 2 hours taping, a hoax, then God bless them, and I'll put them in my movie just for the extra. You know, but that's the way to eliminate it. I mean, I'm going to request all the footage. I don't want just a clip. And that's how you get rid of that.
Yeah, it's like this, matter, this...
Go ahead.
Yeah, it's like this Lake Havasu sighting. Everybody thought this was such a big case, it was so great, and the video, and it turns out that the guy was in a park, and the firefighter, he basically, I think he admitted to, there's a website that teaches you how to hoax, and do a good hoax. And there's these little models you can buy now that you like an RC plane and you fly them around, and these people are out there daily. They just love doing this kind of stuff, and it's kind of frustrating because it makes the serious research look really, really bad when they do this, you know.
Yeah, well, I'm definitely going to be very careful as to what footage I allocate and what I put in my film. I've been getting
okay. Well, that's all I have, and I'll let the next caller come in.
All right, thanks.
Okay, thanks.
623-444-5889 or toll free 888-223-4599. Earlier you and I were talking, Jose, about we both have seen this video on YouTube of a news broadcast, a live news broadcast, and they're interviewing a young lady, and you can see this gray walk behind her, at some distance behind her. And this was a live broadcast, okay? And I said, look, I can't remember where it was. Was it France? And you thought it was France, too. I look at so many videos, folks. Believe me, I look at tons of videos every day, and Jose, I know you do, too.
Yeah.
I just couldn't remember where it was. I knew it was not in the United States. Well, I've gotten a flash message from Leonardo in Puerto Rico, and he says, hi, Kevin, good show. The footage you saw of the woman talking to the press and the gray, by the way, it walked like the gray caught in California by a night vision camera a couple of weeks back. Anyway, she was in a small town in Argentina. She was speaking Spanish, not French. And Leonardo, muchas gracias. I am sorry. Yeah. All right. Yeah. To the telephone. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. Hi, Jose. It's Brian from Burnaby.
Hello, Brian.
I'm wondering, have you managed to research into the nature of the rods, whether they're animals, something that reproduces, if they're from Earth or from other places in the solar system, or perhaps even from other star systems?
Curious shot that I received from a piece of footage that was shot by Chief Standing Elk. He's the chief of the Lakota tribe. He was photographing, filming UFOs over the church there at the reservation, and he filmed these rods. There was this one rod shot that's right above the cross of the tower, you know, at the top of the bell tower. And this rod is huge. It fills the whole frame, okay? And the curious thing about it, when I showed that particular, and it only lasted one frame of video. It wasn't like a series of frames, just one frame of video, bam, it was right then and gone. But it was long. It was real long. It looked like a series of rods. It looked like about 10 or 15 of them just connected but to end, you know, that kind of thing. Was it looked like a white thing was in between each rod, but they were all the same size. And I showed that to a biologist. She said it looked like a single-celled animal. She said it looks like it's reproducing itself, and when they grow, they're the same exact size as the elders. So, and it looked like it was reproducing. It was just a long line, a train of rods, basically. So maybe they might be single-celled. They do have some kind of an existence in the oceans. So we know they have a life cycle of some kind in the water. We have footage of them entering the ocean and coming out of the ocean. And then there's the thing about them in space. And they don't fly in the skies. They swim through the air. So whatever these things are, if they are a biological entity of some kind, it could be from some other dimension, perhaps, or some other reality that exists parallel to ours. And they just kind of come in and out as they prefer, you know.
That's
so for a while, we thought they were biological. I'm sorry?
Well, it would be interesting to see if we could find out what their food source would be and other things of the nature. I suppose they wouldn't. Would they be from other solar systems, perhaps, or are they from here?
It could be, because we do have photographs taken on Mars that show what appear to be rods. I mean, they look just like rods to me. And then I have Surya is one of the Russian crafts. They filmed a huge rod right above Earth. you know, has the wings and everything, the undulating fins. I do think that they do behave like they have they're biological of some kind, you know. They appear to be a biological entity of some kind, and if we could ever catch one, man, believe me, I've been wanting to catch one of these things or find a dead one, but I don't know if we'll ever do that unless there's already one in some jar in some lab, some marine laboratory somewhere in the world, labeled as a unknown jelly plankton, you know. But I think there's probably a specimen somewhere. I just don't know where they come from.
Well, that's very enlightening. Thank you very much, Jose.
Thanks for the call. 623-444-5889 or 888-223-4599. If you would like to join into this conversation, you have a question or a comment for Jose Escamilla, here is your opportunity. Maybe you have a suggestion. It's not as if Jose really has time to start another film project, but maybe you've got an idea or a suggestion that you would like to give him for something that you would like to see him turn into a film, and maybe he can do that. He's got several projects going already, but you know, you never know what might be possible. All right, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling? Hello, caller.
Oh, hello. Yeah, Don from Florida.
Yes, Don. You're on the air. Your question or comment for Jose?
Oh, thank you. It's a pleasure to speak to both of you.
Thank you, Don.
What I was calling about is I know you all are well aware of the cameras, the digital cameras, how they can pick up objects that you can't see with your eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And on the subject of the rod, I take pictures of sky pictures, and I've gotten pictures of what MUFON called orbs, and it's like two or three times the size of a jet airliner. And the reason I say that is because it's in the vicinity of the airliner. I've got white triangles, and I've got other objects that I guess are rods. But my question is, the rods I seem to get don't look anything like the ones I see in Jose's pictures.
Mm-hmm. What do yours look like?
MUFON's always says they're bugs, but mm-hmm. to me they don't look like a bug. Sometimes I can see like one bit of a wing, and sometimes there's nothing, absolutely nothing. It's just like cigar shaped. But the one I'm really calling about, my question is, in the movie The UFO Greatest Story Ever Denied, there was a short clip in there. Fox News footage of this object going by a jet airliner. Do you recall that?
Oh, yeah. They that was in Albany, New York.
Yes, sir. They called it a rod.
Yeah.
Okay. I also got a picture of one that looks, to me, it looks identical to that picture there. And, of course, MUFON, after a couple of weeks, they emailed me back, and they cleared it up. They said it's an insect.
Yeah.
It had that same little pointed wings on the front and the rear of it.
Mm-hmm.
Did you ever come to any kind of conclusion what that was? That doesn't look like the rod you take pictures of.
No, well, we take
opinions.
We have footage and photos of rods, different varieties. I mean, some have the undulatory wing. Some of them, we used to call them spears because they just look like a flying stick, you know. There's a lot of evidence that I haven't really, you know, released, because I've been holding it back for this new film that I'm doing, the Roswell Rod story. But I'd like to see your shot, you know, and compare it to the Albany, New York footage, because what happened with the cameraman that shot that rod over Albany Airport in New York, the military came in, the FBI came in and confiscated the tape, and they tried to force him to confess that he had faked it. And this is the backstory behind that whole filming that Fox did. And they took the footage to Fort Hood, Texas, you know, where they were doing analysis on it, and they've never released their findings. Okay, so MUFON, you know, I just got to tell you, this Monster Quest TV show that was done with History Channel to debunk the rods did a disservice to the rods phenomenon, myself, and the American people, the public, the general viewing audience, and their own sponsors, because they lied to the American public, man, you know, and it's created this onslaught of my hoaxing rods by, you know, putting out footage of insects, and they're not insects, you know. But I'd like to see that shot and compare it, because that is called corroboration, you know.
Okay. Well,
so let me know.
MUFON made me so angry, I deleted most of my stuff, but I still have pictures of that. It was also...
Yeah, well, don't...
I noticed... Well, it showed up on Fowler's files. He had it on in his one time.
Uh-huh. Yeah, don't let anybody dissuade you, especially debunkers that are out there, because that's what they do. Yeah, as Kevin was telling me earlier, you can show them a cow, they'll call it a Cadillac, you know, and they'll insist it's a Cadillac, even though it's a cow. So, you know, just don't let anybody ever dissuade you from continuing your research, because we are the record keepers. We're the human record, man, you know.
Okay.
And there's those debunkers out there. Even there's people that have infiltrated MUFON that are debunkers, and that's what they do.
Right.
So,
I believe it was a match to the one in that Greatest Story Ever Denied.
I'd definitely like to see it.
Mine was a still picture. And in the Fowler's files, I think it was a typo. He said it was 1,000 feet long. I think he meant to put 100 feet. Because
okay.
There was a jetliner going by, and I was taking the picture of the jetliner, and it flew by, and I just happened to snap the picture.
But well, Don, you can go to tbln.com, the link on Kevin Smith's website. You can go to the link there. And you'll find my email address at contact us, you know, and you can send the photo there.
Don, all you have to do when you get over to my website is just click on Jose's photograph, the picture of Jose. Just click on that. It'll take you to his website. Don, thanks for the call. Outstanding information. I appreciate it. 623-444-5889 or toll free 888-223-4599. And we would love to hear from you. It doesn't matter if you've never called before. In fact, that's even especially more interesting if you call us and you're a first-time caller. That's even a little bit more exciting. Now, if you're outside of the USA and you're outside of Canada, you can use our flash message feature, as George has done in Australia. Caller, if you will, just hang on, and we'll get to you in just a moment. George in Australia says about the rods, in my experience, they are a concertina merging and integrating of craft, and they fly in a worm-like fashion, and this is also why they appear to be a living creature. Got 30 seconds if you wanted to comment on that, Jose.
Well, I do want to say something. There's something curious about the possibility that some of the rod footage are spheres that are traveling at extremely high velocities. So it could be, you know, that what we're seeing are round spheres that are traveling so fast they even blur high-speed camcorders. So there's a shot that was taken in the Gulf Breeze, Florida,
mm-hmm.
And there's a metallic sphere that's hovering right there, and all of a sudden it just zips off, you know? And it turns to a mercury, looks like mercury, you know, just flying off. But then it turns into a rod shape, complete with undulatory wave fins.
All right, we have to step away for a break. Caller, if you'll hang on, we'll get to you first up when we come back. On the Kevin Smith Show comes from the great independent artists at GarageBand.com. Go to GarageBand.com and check out the fabulous selection they have of great independent music by great independent artists. GarageBand.com. Check it out. And welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. My guest this evening is Jose Escamilla. And, Jose, we have a caller on hold, so let's go straight to the telephone. Caller, your first name and from where are you calling?
Yeah, good evening, gentlemen. It's Terry from Ohio.
Hello, Terry.
Hi.
How are you?
Jose, I was wondering, those rods, ever since I first started seeing them, I think pretty amazing things. I just wondered, has there been enough research done where that they could tell whether they are somewhat intelligent and can they appear and disappear? I mean, do they want to be seen, or is it just technology that we're lucky we're catching them?
Well, we do have footage of them avoiding contact with some of the base jumpers. When we went to the Cave of the Swallows in Mexico, northern Mexico, one of the base jumpers is jumping off, and, you know, he's doing about 90 miles an hour terminal velocity. And this rod comes in and flies underneath him, falling down at the same time at about 90 miles per hour, but still traveling left to right. It goes under his stomach and just goes left, you know, to the right, and then makes a U-turn and goes back where it comes from. Now, remember, he's going terminal velocity straight down. This rod is under his belly and also falling at 90 miles an hour, and then also traveling left to right and then right to left. So it's a creature that's just incredible in the dynamics that it has as far as aerial dynamics. We have another shot of a base jumper that's jumping in, and this rod goes right at him and all of a sudden makes a 40-degree or a 45-degree angle turn to avoid contact. So they do seem to present some kind of intelligence. I wouldn't know how far advanced they are, but, you know, I would imagine as fast as they're traveling, to them, we're probably traveling in super slow motion, so it's effortless for them to make a U-turn, you know?
Yeah, kind of like the difference between a person and a hummingbird, huh?
Yeah, hummingbirds do some pretty incredible dynamics, man.
Yeah, has there been any kind of sound detected from these things?
They make we have about six videos. Wow, there's this one shot taken in Italy, I believe, of a squadron of rods. There's about seven or eight of them. Doggone it, I wish I had that page. But you can just type in rod squadron, I believe. But they go behind the shack and they make a sound. It's like a swishing sound. But there's about six or seven of them. They go just like that, man. And they do make a popping sound sometimes, or a clicking sound that we've detected.
Yep.
And
very
swishing.
Steep. Well, thank you.
All right. Thank you for the call, Terry. 623-444-5889. Is the main number here in the studio, and we would love to hear from you if you have a question or a comment about any of the things that we've talked about. And look, Jose has worked on films, he's produced films on just about all the kinds of things we talk about, except ghost. I don't think you've done a ghost film, have you?
I'm going to tackle that. There is a ghost case that it's pretty incredible, where the ghost actually came out and told the scientists how to film them, how to create devices where they could communicate. And it's just an incredible story, and I definitely want to do that one of these days, you know.
So I'll take that as a no. You haven't done a film yet.
Haven't done one, but I do want to do it, yes.
A ghost came out and told the person how to go about filming?
They told these scientists and parapsychologists how to do it. And when you find out what the story is behind it, the backstory on it, it's just incredible. You know, and
that sounds like a bestseller.
Oh man, it's called the Scholes, Scholes project, and just the way it was done. You want me to tell you how they did it, real quick?
Okay.
Yeah, what happened is they got this medium, and these parapsychologists went to this mansion, one of the most haunted there in England. And the ghost came out and said, look, here's what we want you to do. Take all the thermal cameras and all that out of here. We want you to cover all the windows. Do not allow any sun, any light at all. Go get some Polaroid instant cameras, a 35-millimeter Polaroid camera that develops film immediately, and come back tomorrow. And at 1 minute after midnight, you are to take the film out of the Polaroid case. and lay it flat on cloth, and then put the film back into the canister, load it up into the Polaroid camera, put the tape over the bulb so there's no flash, and then cover the lens so there's no light that enters, and then click off the Polaroid shots so they develop by themselves. Okay? And they did the same thing with the 35 millimeter film camera. And, you know, they said pull the film out of the canister, roll it back in the canister, put it in the 35 millimeter camera, and snap off the photos without a flash and cover the lens. And what they found is faces on the Polaroid shots. And on the film strip, they found a detailed patent drawing of how to build an audio transmitter that will allow you to communicate with ghosts on the other side, or at least allow them at that time. And it had the initials TAV on it, or TAE, something like that. Well, one of the scientists went back to the university because he had seen that TAE somewhere, and guess what? It was Thomas Alva Edison that had made that patent drawing of how to build a device where you could communicate with ghosts. And from what I understand, they started talking with him, and there were more photographs taken. I've got the photos, and they finally showed them how to videotape them, and it was using mirrors of some kind. But they communicated, and then nothing else has ever been heard from this. And this took place in 2002 through 2005. Nothing else has been heard about it. So I'd like to make a film on that one.
All right, so you have the photographs.
Yes.
Of the ghost.
Yes. Now remember, it was pitch dark in there. They pulled the Polaroid photos, undeveloped, out of the canisters.
Yeah.
All right, laid them on a cloth, and then put them back in to the canister, popped them into the Polaroid camera, covered the lens and covered the flash bulb, and then snapped off the photos to make them develop.
Uh-huh.
The Polaroid cameras develop instantly, and uh-huh. These faces appeared. And there's people you can see. It's just amazing. And the next night they did it again, but this time they had a chain of custody. They said, we got to make sure that nobody's pulling our leg here. So what they did is they went to Polaroid, that makes the 35mm, and they made them give them fresh off of the rack, you know, before it gets to the store and all that. They got virgin Polaroid canisters. That's why they knew the chain of custody was in command, and there was no way anybody could tamper with this prior to the effect, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Did the same experiment, same results. More faces, more things. So it was just amazing. It's amazing stuff.
How did you find out about this?
I'm a ghost enthusiast. I've seen things myself. You know, I've had, I'll be editing sometimes and I'll hear a voice go, hello, you know, and I turn around, there's nothing there. Or sometimes I see shadows
mm-hmm.
within the darkness of where I'm editing. I can see people, you know, or things. Maybe it's my imagination, but I am totally into anything paranormal, man, you know. And this one I found, I don't even know how I found it. I might have been looking at ghosts of videos or something and just ran across it. And there it was.
How were you able to obtain these photographs?
I'm sorry, they had them on this website.
Uh-huh.
I can find it.
Okay.
I'll send that to you too.
All right.
Oh, the skullexperiment.com. There it is. The Skoll, SCOLE, experiment.com. There's a book out. Oh,
this is, look, I don't claim by any stretch of the imagination to know everything there is going on in the world of the paranormal, but I do try to stay up on it. Whether it's UFOs or ghosts or telekinesis or whatever we're talking about, you know, I do try to stay up with the developments and what's going on. But this is one I hadn't heard of.
Yeah.
This one's new to me.
Because they actually told them how to do it. Whether they continue is another story, but boy, it just amazes me. Oh, yeah, all the photos are there. Yeah, just go to the Skoll Experiment and then click on, where is it? The S files on the left hand side. The S files, and you'll see all the photographs.
All right, I'll take a look at that after the show tonight.
Absolutely, it's very interesting stuff. And I heard about this, like I said, back then. So Amazing.
What would it take to push you that direction instead of UFOs and the UFOs, the unidentified aerial phenomena, which also includes the rods? What would it take to push you in the direction of ghosts for a filmmaking project?
Well, of course, budget.
Uh-huh.
It always takes budget because I'm going to have to hire a camera crew, you know, probably travel to England and, you know, interview the people that were part of this thing. But it's mainly budget, you know. I want to do this film,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Right.
I at one time contacted them. They said that a friend of mine, actually, whom I know very well, has supposedly already done a deal on this. But, you know, who knows?
When you say done a deal, that means it's wrapped up and you can't do the film now? Is that it?
Well, no. It depends on the people that did the deal with this person.
Mm-hmm.
He's a producer friend of mine. I used to be his webmaster.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what the status is. It's been a year or so when I contacted them, and they told me that they were working a deal with this gentleman. And I said, oh, okay, all right.
Well, since we're talking about England, let's jump back to John Leonard Walson for just a moment. Is he continuing to film and videotape these craft, or is he not doing that anymore?
I don't know if he. I think he is continuing. He has a some of his stuff, most of his stuff on blip.com.
Mm-hmm.
But whether he's done any new stuff, I don't know. I know he was doing a lot of moon stuff. When I was doing Moon Rising, he started coming up with his own thing called Moon, the Rising Moon or something, where he was filming the moon with his telescope, showing structures.
Yeah, I remember seeing something about that.
Yeah. I don't know what he's doing lately. I've always told him, let's get this thing done, man. You know? He won't do radio interviews. He won't appear on TV. He was claiming for a long time that I had ripped him off of money made off of Interstellar, but at the same token, the bank account he sent me was bogus. I asked him to put together a PayPal account, and I'd send him money, you know, and he never did that. I don't even know what he looks like. Nobody knows what he looks like, so...
Well, if the bank account... Well, we have to step away for a break. I have a question about that when we come back. We'll be back, folks, right after this, so don't go away. Back. It's the Kevin Smith Show, and my guest this evening, filmmaker Jose Escamilla. And we have time for one more call, maybe. If you want to call, 623-444-5889 or 888-223-4599 is the toll-free number. Now, if you can call me without it costing you long distance, please use the 623 number. 623-444-5889. Quick reminder, this Saturday is the first Saturday in the month, which means I'll be in the chat room at showtime, okay? So whatever time you tune in to the live show in your time zone, that's when I'm in the chat room. That's in our members area. Cost a grand sum of 23 cents a day. Or $6.95 a month. And we would love to have you join us in the chat room and in our community in the members area. You have your own profile page, your friends page, your own blog, place where you can post articles that you write, and forums and chat and a video galaxy and lots of good stuff. A library of free ebooks for you. So just loads and loads and tons of good stuff for $6.95 a month in the members area. Plus, you get to watch the shows live or watch the latest show. In other words, this show. If you weren't able to catch all of it live tonight, you'll be able within a couple of hours after the show tonight. It takes a couple of hours for us to get it encoded and uploaded. But anyway, you'll be able to watch the show if you missed it. Jose, you said the biggest obstacle to producing this film about this ghost experiment, the Skoll experiment, is budget. And now, you have to raise budget for every film you do.
Yeah, yeah. Making these movies is not cheap.
Mm-hmm.
There is a cost factor involved, you know?
Yeah.
And it ain't cheap.
It's not cheap. And how do you go about raising a budget for ghost films?
Well, just like every other film that I've done, I sell movie credits. So you can become you can buy a special thanks credit, you know, for yourself or a loved one for $50, and, you know, your name will appear
mm-hmm.
at the end credits. Or you can become an associate producer, a co-producer, or a producer,
mm-hmm.
or an executive producer for a fee.
Mm-hmm.
And I apply those towards, you know, music licensing, editing costs, and things of that nature.
Yeah, music licensing is not cheap either.
I'm sorry?
Music licensing is not cheap.
No, music license cost me at least from $3,500 to $6,000 per film. Depends on how much music I use.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, that takes money, and I've run out.
Yeah.
I'm at a point. I'm so far in the red. It's just, you know, and I have investors that are needing to get paid back. So I'm selling the DVDs. I'm selling movie credits. I'm selling as many things as I can.
Well, what DVDs do you have available right now for sale?
Right now I have the remake of my first film, UFO, The Greatest Story Ever Denied, Part 1. And you can check that out over at TBLN.com or at TBLNfilms.com. And also Moon Rising is available, film that you saw last year at the premiere.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually the finished version. What you saw was a rough cut at the mm-hmm. premiere. Also, Interstellar, Moon Rising, Luna. Luna is out now. And that's available on TBLN.com as well.
Now, Luna is the one that you took some clips before that film was completely finished. You took some right. clips and brought them to us in our video chat and shared them with us.
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. That's some amazing stuff. It has that little creature, remember, that jumps off the Apollo?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty bizarre. I call it the little space monkey.
Yeah, it is bizarre. And as a matter of fact, in the faceplate for the show tonight, the graphic for the show, there is a shot of this crater Aristarchus with this fabulous blue structure with blue light coming out all around it, and I faded that into that faceplate or into that graphic. And for those who are watching our TV channel, they can see it. It's just to the right of Jose's picture, and it's that blue circle, bluish white circle of light. What do you think that is?
Well, I have some of the best shots taken of Aristarchus. Full color photography, and it looks like some kind of a machine or generator of some kind of energy, because it's the most beautiful bluish color to it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just awesome, man. And the full color photography of it that I downloaded from the USGS website is bar none the best shot I've ever seen. I think it might be a nuclear reactor of some kind or something. It's generating an enormous amount of energy of some kind.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one of the most mysterious parts of the moon, you know? That's pretty wild, pretty wicked looking.
So you think that it is actually a nuclear reactor of some kind?
Or a plasma energy generator, or I don't know, it's just generating an enormous amount of what looks like bluish plasma energy of some kind. It's just, I don't know, I can't explain it. It's just an amazing thing that's there on the moon.
Now, is that on the front side or the back side of the moon?
It's on the front side, kind of up towards the upper left quadrant of the moon.
So astronomers ought to be able to see that.
Oh, yes. Well, the photos that I have, and I've downloaded some very high-resolution photographs from the website, full color, and you know, what's up there has always been, it's kind of washed out, so I had to do some color correction. That's all I did to it, was just bring out the colors better, the contrast. And boy, the details of whatever that is, it's just amazing. You can see what appeared to be like giant, and it would have to be gigantic cables of some kind that are popping out through the sides of the craters. In fact, at the end of Moon Rising, I show the black and white photo taken by the Hubble scope of Aristarchus, and you can see these things that look like huge cables of some kind that are kind of curving out outside from the outer rim of the crater. And that's where you can see the full-color photography of Aristarchus. It's beautiful, man. The end of Moon Rising, definitely.
Well, I'd like to encourage everyone listening to the show tonight to go over to your website and purchase these DVDs. Folks, if we don't support the people that are producing these, guess what happens? They can't produce anymore. And let's do that. Look, I know you can get these things pirated. You can get them free here, free there. I know you can. You can get my stuff pirated. But if you do that, you're putting the people out of business that are producing the things you really want to know about. And so don't do that. Go over to the website. Get the DVDs from Jose and help support the kind of filmmaking that you want. We enjoy seeing these things, and he puts out some great films. This is one way to help make sure that continues to happen. I know of one filmmaker that it cost him so much money to put out a very classic UFO documentary. It cost him so much money, and people stole so much from him, he's out of the business. Jose, thanks for being with us this evening. I hope that you'll be with us again very soon. Stay on the line with me for just a moment. And, folks, it's time for me to say that's a wrap. My friends call me Steel Eye, and yes, I do have a few. And my enemies do, too, and I have some of them. You can call me whatever you want. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until next time, so long, everybody.